Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 6, 2016. So, did you hear that sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. First thing I'm going to mention real quickly, though, folks, is, you know, I'd like to answer your phone calls back, but sometimes, you know, we ended up having to delete a whole bunch of phone calls because we had somebody that talking to me, I guess it was about Brother Stair or something, saying he was part of Messiah's Branch. I don't know, but he rambled on and on and on and on. I had like 8 or 9 messages on my cell phone number, which I tell you is for emergencies, and then on over on the computer, or not computer, on my main phone. The same kind of thing. And, brother, if you're out there and you really need to talk to me about something, whether it's stir or anything else, send me, for you specifically, send me an email. Give me a brief what it's about. I'll call you back. But don't leave 2 hours worth of messages on my cell phone. And that hurts it for other people because when I deleted messages, I deleted all the messages. And I'm afraid I might have deleted some other people's messages. But if you've got that kind of an attitude, don't do it. Send me an email. Send me your phone number. I'll call you back. We'll talk about what you want to. Remember, this is for prayer requests. And, you know, I can give a little bit of advice, but don't hit me with big rambling scenarios that I can't tell what you're even talking about. Anyway, you can always find updates with the Breaking News, our ministry radio program archives, our email address, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And for you folks that just want audios, like scroll down and to see everything, I'm telling you this specifically to our audience out there that listens on your cell phone. Try MessiahsBranch.com. In fact, all of you ought to try it out, MessiahsBranch.com. And we also, anyway, we'll talk about something else in a minute. But anyway, check out Messiah's Branch at branch.automatic.com, and they're smartphone-friendly. In fact, all of these are. And at branch.automatic.com, they have an iPhone app and an Android app. And I challenge you to share these programs with at least 2 or 3 other people. Yes, I'm working on an app just for us, but I need somebody to help me with it. It would be nice, but as normal, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years, radio and basic since 2000. I've been on AVR since about 2004, and I technically do most of this stuff by myself. My son does help me with some recording and making pictures, but it's a lot of work for one person, especially one that has a full-time ministry or church. Okay. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service an email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitations or donations. And we have a prayer request form that's right on the right side of Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com. So if you don't want to send an email, you can just type it in there and send me your phone number, and bang, nobody else will see it, and I'll call you back. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. And I noticed some of the guys on YouTube said, well, I don't need all those intros and things. Well, I'm sorry. We're a radio program. It's a podcast second. It's something that's did on live radio and been disco. I podcast it for your benefit so you can hear it on the internet. Even though while it is out on satellite, it is going over the internet right now internationally. But the point of the matter is it's a radio program. It is not just me up here talking. So anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener bases in places like Germany, Brazil, France, London, UK, Oslo, Norway, Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, places all over Texas, Toledo, Ohio, New Orleans, Louisiana, and yes, I haven't changed that list in weeks, but it sure does change. There's a lot of new people, and of course, our old people right there in Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later tonight. And that's just on one podcast site. We're picked up all over the place. YouTube. We're picked up on iTunes. We're picked up on Stitcher. And a new one that I'll give you the name of after break later on tonight. So now a prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, Father. And give everyone out there with ears to hear the truth. And Father, just lift the veil from them in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to start this program off with a very popular song that I usually play when I'm doing the program, but we are going to mix it up later with some other songs from this album. But this song really is my heart, and I think you need to hear it. It come from the 90s. So let's hear it now. The Message.
Message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. See the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. One more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. You're soon their souls. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard ripe, the field is white, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul.
let's start with this. Now, yeah, that's a very heavy song, and I really do believe in that song. And my heart is just severely burdened, and it has been for a number of years. The Father called me to do the things that I do and warn like I do. And so my heart is really burdened, especially with this. Let's start with this. This is a headline, you know, a little while back, I think about a month or something ago, from the Inquisitor. It goes like this. It says, if it's Hillary Clinton, it's war, says Vladimir Putin to a frightened Russian people. Hillary Clinton has been inferring that Donald Trump's brash persona would be a poor match for foreign policy, while Vladimir Putin says otherwise. The former Secretary of State is quoted in the National Interest explaining in a very nonspecific way why Trump is too temperamental to be president. And, you know, I heard this same thing repeated from a black woman in line at a pharmacy when I was getting some a prescription for a poor person. And she said this same thing, which is just rhetoric. But anyway, Clinton says, this is not someone, meaning Trump, who should ever have the nuclear codes, because it's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading into a war because somebody got under his very thin skin. Well, ironically, Hillary's Clinton war hawks say that ways have the Russian public scared to death in a very specific way. And the Kremlin is gearing up for what it perceives as an unwanted but inevitable war with Hillary. Putin doesn't say Hillary is thin-skinned. He says she's Satan incarnate. Vladimir Putin does not obfuscate his opinion of Mr. and Mrs. Clinton. They're both Satan in his eyes. Many older Russians blame Bill Clinton for the collapse of the Russian economy during the 1990s, while the younger people have formed their opinions based on Russian media reports. The Observer reports Putin's words as he describes his view of Mrs. Clinton. First, there was Bush Sr. in power, and then Bush Jr. Bill Clinton was a U.S. president two times in a row, and now his wife has ambitions again. The family might stay in power. As they say in Russia, a husband and wife are the same Satan. Hillary Clinton is Satan to the Russian people, according to the Observer, while they see at least a ray of hope in Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin has ordered the Aerospace Defense Forces to accelerate the development of two or more missile attacks, with early warning system satellites. He told his military leaders, prepare for imminent war if Hillary is elected to the ETF. That's if Hillary Clinton, it's war. Do you hear that, folks? If you hear that it's Hillary Clinton, it's war. That's what they believe. Now, is this just talk? I have this now to let you decide that. I don't believe Putin is just talking. We have this now. I believe they are scared of Hillary starting a war. The U.S. suspended contact with Russia over Syria on Monday. Secretary of State John Kerry has been enraged by airstrikes on rebel-controlled arrows on Apollo. Mirovsky Kosomolets, wow, that's a hard one, it's a Russian name, but it's a tabloid in Russia, predicts a direct military confrontation on par with the Cuban Missile Crisis. It states, just imagine that the U.S. does what it has wanted to do for a long time and strike against Assad, not by mistake, but on purpose and openly. Assad? Well, Assad is Russia's ally. Would he not defend him? I mean, come on, really. That's what the war is all about. Assad would already been overthrown had it been for Russia's intervention, but he's intervening because that's his ally. Isn't that what allies are supposed to do? I'm not judging either one of them. I'm not judging Russia on whether they're an evil place, and I'm not judging Assad on whether he's evil. But I'm telling you, that's what people do when they're allies. They protect each other. They stand up for each other. He says that he will and continually will defend Assad, and he warns the USA. Well, Kerry may be backtracking on not talking to Russia, because remember that earlier this week he said he broke off contact with Russia, said, oh, we are now basically saying we're in a state of war. I'm not going to talk to Russia. Kerry may be backtracking on it again. Russia is evacuating more than 40 million people in drills to prepare for nuclear war after Putin's Secretary of Ministry of Defense warned of schizophrenics from America sharpening atomic weapons for Moscow. Now, 40 million people, that's a lot of people. As a bluff, would you think that they would, you know, involve that many people? Would they do that? Would America do it? And at what cost? I'm talking monetary cost. And Russia doesn't have a lot of extra money. Citizens have been told a war with the West could be imminent. And Kremlin officials have said underground shelters have been built to house 12 million people. The massive evacuation drill started yesterday, and there will be, it will last at least 3 days. The Ministry of the Russian Federation for Civil Defense, Emergencies, and Elimination of Consequences of Natural Disaster spokesman said, well, that's a long title, isn't it? Russian Federation for Civil Defense, Emergencies, and the Elimination of Consequences of Natural Disasters. That's a big title. Anyway, the three-stage, 4-day drill involves more than 40 million people, more than 200,000 specialists of rescue units based in regions, organizations, and enterprises, as well as some 50,000 units of equipment. Management bodies and forces of the emergency ministries, territorial bodies have been put on a simulated high alert. Representatives of federal executive authorities, heads of regions, local governments, and organizations are taking part in this massive drill. Emergency ministry forces and facilities are fully engaged, including rescue military divisions, rescue units, paramilitary mine rescue units, and state small vessels inspectorate, fire departments, and aircraft. And, of course, I'm quoting from a newspaper article, but that's a huge, huge thing. Russia currently has the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons with 8,400 in a section of its nuclear doctrine, which allows for use of the weapons if there is a vague suggestion of a threat. America has 7,500 warheads, considerably less. And let alone, we don't have the launch codes just right there. Okay? Could this be a bluff? I really don't think so. I believe, however, that Putin does not really want to bring on nuclear war. Again, Vladimir Putin has ordered every city in Russia to take part in an urgent civil defense drill starting today. 40 million people, almost a third of the country, will take part in that exercise. Prepare Russians and citizens from an imminent nuclear bombardment. Now, wow. Russian intelligence sources believe an attack is more likely than it has been in decades. Government and media have been warning the people to prepare for nuclear Armageddon after the U.S. explosively announced that it was cutting ties with Russia regarding the Syrian war. Military and strategic experts have been warning that the Syrian conflict, far from being an isolated civil war, is actually a World War III powder keg waiting to combust. All of the world's major powers are now active in Syria, with tensions at an all-time high, and American rhetoric sending shivers down Russian spines. Putin is determined to protect his people at all costs. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday proposed a law suspending a Moscow-Washington agreement to dispose of weapons-grade plutonium. And, folks, if you hear a coughing in the background, that's because I guess my son's coming down with a cold, and he's over there recording a program. Maybe we'll get him something for that before the next program comes up. Anyway, hydrogen bombs could destroy most civilian buildings in a 10-mile radius. Based on a 20-megaton weapon exploding 3.3 miles above the ground, according to calculations in physics and nuclear arms today, the effects on people nearby would even be more frightening, with a blast killing thousands of or millions of people instantly. And that's a fact, folks. And after that, you would have a following of how many people would die from radioactive poisoning from fallout after the initial blast. This is just not good, you know. Witnesses of the Hiroshima attack said that people near the center of the blast vanished. Of thousands of others near the central explosion, there was no trace. They just vanished. The theory in Hiroshima is that the atomic heat was so great that they burned instantly to ashes, and there were no more ashes, except that there were no more ashes. I mean, that's how hot it is. And are we prepared for that? I really don't think so. With only 6 months to go in the Oval Office, President Obama is contemplating a fundamental change to U.S. national security policy, a declaration of a no first use regarding nuclear weapons. This is crazy. Another stupid idea of tell your enemies what you do or not do, but unilaterally taking the first strike option off the table would significantly lower the security of the U.S. and its allies. Well, folks, we need to go to a break, and we'll come back and talk about this some more. But prophecyhour.com, go to prophecyhour.com, messiahsbranch.com, go check them out. And we'll come back in 3 minutes after a break.
Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour and American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're going to skip right now a commercial for the homeless and poor. Don't forget about it. We'll put a talk in about it a little bit later. But right now, I want to play another song for you because being on holy ground is where we have to be at to be protected in this terrible time that's coming. Let's hear a song.
To see the bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, cause he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Standing on holy ground. holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
Okay, folks, we're back, of course. Are you standing on holy ground? Does that mean, it means, are you righteous with the Father? Are you following the walk that you need to walk? That's what you need to do. If you're not on a narrow path and you're on a wide path of the world, you're not going to be safe in anything. He would save you in the fire without burning, just as he saved Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is how he would save you in this time, not by migrating to another country unless he verbally spoke to you, as he did to this other man by the name of Dmitry Dudeman. But we'll get to that. First, the U.S. maintains a nuclear force not to blow up the world, but to keep the world from plunging into a ruinous global war. One of its main purposes is deterrence. You got that, folks? Deterrence. For this reason, the no first use is just craziness. We've used our nuclear weapons with success every day since the dawn of the nuclear age. No other weapon has had such a track record. The people over there are afraid of us, ultimately, because why? We have the largest nuclear force in the world. And so having a strong force keeps us from having to use them. To declare that the United States would retaliate with nukes only if attacked with nuclear weapons is to ignore a spectrum of crippling scenarios and adversities that would just be crazy if the policy was implemented. Conventional weapons simply do not have the same deterrent effect as nukes. In fact, this was painfully demonstrated throughout the 20th century. Our adversaries must know that we had reserved a nuclear option to deal with the imminent attack of any kind of catastrophic attack, nuclear or otherwise. Advocates of a no-use policy betray a lack of appreciation for the history of warfare. We cannot know whether a U.S. will find itself in a situation when we need to do it or not, so saying we won't do it is just nuts. Russia, however, has issued a new military doctrine whose main innovation was the concept of de-escalation. The idea is that if Russia was faced with a large-scale conventional attack that exceeded its capacity for defense, it might respond with a nuclear, with a limited nuclear defense. In other words, if they thought they were losing a battle, they reserved the right to use nuclear weapons without, you know, on a first strike. Well, wow. And what about America? We're sitting here talking about how the Russians can put our population underground, but if they put their population underground, do you see our shelters anywhere? You folks back in the 60s when you was going to school and early 70s seen those radioactive signs over all the school buildings and different places to go in for a fallout shelter? I mean, you know, it had crackers and cheese in it and all kinds of things, because I remember going down the basement and seeing them at our school. Where's it at? Before the program, I looked up civil defense, and while there's all kinds of rhetoric, and they claim that we're prepared. Yeah, you know how they claim that we're prepared? Because there's a whole bunch of preppers out there. There's people out there that are prepared, so if we were attacked by a nuclear weapon, we would survive because the American people are prepared. Okay, how many of you folks are prepared for that? Or how many of you folks even know somebody that is vaguely prepared for it? And I'm not talking about some prepper you've talked to online. I mean, personally, within your church, within your school. Are you prepared? No, you're not. Most people are not. They think nuclear weapons, oh, that's never going to happen, right? Well, I don't know what to say about that. I really do believe that we're in dire trouble. We're in dire trouble, folks. If you can't see it, you just have to see it. And here's the point. If we were to believe this prophet by the name of Dmitry Dudeman, here's what we would come up with. Dmitry Dudeman was a man that used to smuggle Bibles into Romania. He was strongly persecuted and put in jail and prison for it. And he was finally exiled to America. And when once he was in America, God gave Dmitry Dudeman a message. I'm going to try to read this message, before it is time, before we burn out on this program. But the first thing is, this angel called America Mystery Babylon, and Dimitri replied to him, well, how, why? And the angel told him, he said, tell them, because all the nations of the world immigrated to America with their own gods, and they were not stopped. Encouraged by the freedom here, and the wickedness began to increase. Later on, even though America was established as a Christian nation, the American people began to follow strange gods and the immigrants that brought them in, and also turned their backs on the God who had built and prospered this country. Now, you can go to handtohelp.com, that's handtohelp.com, and look up Dimitri Dudeman's prophecies and see what it says. But I'm going to read you one of the messages, as it is public information. Here is the beginning of the message for America, September 1984. Late one night, I could not sleep. The children were sleeping on the luggage. My wife and daughter were crying, and I went outside and walked around. I didn't want them to see me cry. This is Dimitri Dudeman talking. I walked around the building crying, said, God, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me to this country? I can't understand anybody. And if I try to ask anybody, all I hear is, I don't know. He must have been in California. That reminds me of my trip to California. Nobody knew directions or anything. Anyway, I stopped in front of an apartment building and sat on a large rock. Suddenly, a bright light came towards me, and I jumped to my feet because it looked as if it was a car coming directly at me, attempting to run me down. I thought the Romanian secret police had tracked me to America, and now they were trying to kill me. But it wasn't a car at all. As the light approached, it surrounded me. From the light, I heard the same voice I heard so many times in prison. Now, this same voice helped him in prison, and in some parts of his prophecy, it calls it an angel. He said, Dimitri, why are you so despaired? I said, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me to this country? I have nowhere to lay my head. I don't understand anybody, he said. And so he said, Dimitri, I didn't tell you I am here with, didn't I tell you I'm here with you also? I brought you to this country because this country will burn. I said to him, why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in my own country? You should have let me die in that jail in Romania. He said, Dimitri, I have patience so I can tell you. Get on this. I got on something next to me. I don't know what it was. I also know that I was not asleep. It was not like a dream. It was not a vision. I was awake just as I am now. I know this feeling. I had a dream vision like this, or I call it maybe an open vision. We'll talk about that at another day. He showed me all of California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. All of this in one day will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. Then he took me to Las Vegas. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it'll burn. Then he showed me the state of New York. Do you know what this is, he asked. I said, no. He said, this is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. Then he showed me all of Florida. This is Florida, he said. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he took me back to the rock where we had begun. In one day it will burn. All this I have shown you. I said, how will it burn? And he said, remember what I am telling you, because you will go on television and the radio and in churches. You must yell with a loud voice. Do not be afraid, because I will be with you. How will I be able to go? Who knows me here in America? I don't know anybody here, he said. Don't worry yourself. I will go before you. I will do a lot of healing in the American churches, and I will open doors for you. But do not say anything else besides what I tell you. This country will burn. Well, Dimitri says, well, what will you do with the church? The voice said, I want to save the church, but the churches have forsaken me. I said, how have they forsaken you? He said, the people praise themselves. The honor that the people are supposed to give you, Jesus Christ, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are no divorces. There is adultery in churches. There are homosexuals in the churches. There is abortion in the churches and all the other sins that are possible. Because of all the sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell with a loud voice. They must put an end to their sinning. They must turn towards the Lord. The Lord never gets tired of forgiving. They must draw close to the Lord and live a clean life. If they have sinned until now, they must put an end to it. Remember, be on holy ground. Start a new life, as the Bible tells them to live. And Dimitri says to him, he says, how will America burn? America is the most powerful country in the world. Why did you bring me here and burn? Why didn't you just let us all die where all Dudemans have died? He said, remember this, Dudeman. The Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. When the Americans think there is peace and safety, when Americans think there is peace and safety, from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the ocean, from Cuba, Nicaragua, and Mexico. And he told Dimitri Dudeman several other countries, but he couldn't remember what they were. He said they will bomb nuclear warehouses. When they explode, America will burn. Well, what will you do with the Church of the Lord? How will you save the ones that will turn towards you? I asked, and he said, tell them this, how I saved the three young ones from the furnace of fire, how I saved Daniel and the lion's den. This is the way I will save them. The angel of the Lord also told me, I have blessed this country because of the Jewish people who are in this country. I have 7 million Jews in this country, but they did not want to recognize the Lord. They didn't want to thank God for the blessing they received in this country. Israel doesn't want to recognize Jesus Christ. They put their faith in the Jewish people in America. This is key, folks. They put their faith in America. America has always been protecting the Jews. But when America burns, the Lord will raise China, Japan, and other nations to go up against the Russians. They will beat the Russians and put them all the way back to the gates of Paris. Over there, they will make a treaty and appoint the Russians their leaders, and they will unite against Israel. When Israel realizes that she does not have the strength of America behind her, she will be frightened. Then she will turn to Messiah for deliverance. That's when Messiah will come. Then the church will meet Yeshua in the air, and he will bring them back to the Mount of Olives. At that time, the Battle of Armageddon would be fought. And I believe also that Babylon looks like that. The destruction of mystery Babylon looks like that happens, according to the Word, right before the Battle of Armageddon. We can talk about that in another program. Then I heard all this. If you're truly the angel of the Lord, you have told me is true, then it must be written in the Bible. Right. He said, tell everyone to read from Jeremiah 51:8-15, Revelation chapter 18, and Zechariah chapter 14, where Christ fights against those who possess the earth. After this victory, the angel said, there will be one flock and one shepherd. There will be no need for light. The Lamb of God will be the light. There will be no sickness, no tears, no death. There will only be eternal joy, and God will be their ruler. There will only be one language. Only one song, and no need for a translator. And Dimitri, he continued a word of warning. If you keep anything from the American people, what you're told, I will punish you severely. How will I know that this is for real? It will really happen. As a sign that I've spoken you tomorrow. Anyway, he gave Dimitri a sign, and that sign came true. Now, this is excerpted from the book called Through the Fire Without Burning. Yes, Dimitri Dudeman did pass away. And he has been passed away for some time now. But the point of the matter is the prophecy still valid? Is America Babylon? You should read his testimony before making judgment. But, folks, even if America is not Babylon, we have a real problem here in America. And it is just what that angel said. It was like what was said. We've let all these other gods come into this country. Christianity has been corrupted by letting so much compromise and various things into the country. And then they turn around where the Christian church used to take care of the poor. They allow the government to do it. And so now the poor is not even being taken care of. We let all of these craziness into our country. Is this time? Is this all true? I can tell you one thing, that my heart is deeply troubled. And that I love you, and that I wish that we would all be safe. But I pray so strongly, I pray that maybe this isn't true, or that maybe if it is indeed true, then we're going to get cut a break. And that break could be Trump, maybe the Father will allow us. If, you know, he says that he would heal wounds if we pray. So what I'm saying is we need to pray, but we need to take action, because prayers without faith is dead being alone. Faith without prayers is dead being alone. And so you have to have action, you know. You have to have action. You have to get up off the couch and do something. In this instance, I really believe that you need to get out and vote. You need to convince others to vote. Your vote matters. It dearly matters, folks, because we don't want this evil thing. Even if no destruction was going to come to the country, the destruction will come within. If we get Hillary as president, Hillary is a person that says an hour away from birth, a child can be killed as an abortion, an hour away from birth. That's murder, and it's been going on and on. You think the blood of those innocents aren't crying out from the Father and from the ground? And what kind of country do you want to give your children if we do go on? Personally, I think we are in that time at the end, and we need to be ready. And to be ready, we need to be righteous. That doesn't mean digging a hole in the ground and hiding. And some people, well, they may be told to do that, but I wasn't told to do that. I was told to feed the people. I was told, kept up all night long, to take care of the people. And this is something that I do, even though at great despair to my family, we put the mission church first and we make sure the people are ahead, even though we go without over and over and over. And I'm not complaining. I'm just only happy to serve a God that helped me, that saved me from being an evil person, because I was one of the worst of the worst. I was an outlaw biker, and I was one of the worst of the worst. What a bad guy like you've seen in a program. If that was a goal in life that I wanted to achieve, it was a false promise from the devil. But I still pursued it until I got to the top of that food chain, so to speak. I spent thousands of hours a day. Yeah, I was a criminal. Get it? Outlaw biker, criminal. But he saved me. That person is dead. He is no longer here. He told me he had use of me the way that I was, meaning my looks. Because I said, what do you want me to do? Wear a suit and tie? What do you want me to do? He said, I have use of you as you are. Kept me up all night and told me to take care of the mission, to create the mission church. And that's what we've been faithfully doing, even though we get along with nothing. People are so quick to donate to agencies and all those things. But, folks, you need to directly be able to give it to the people. And so tonight I am asking you for a donation. We need your help. And we also need your help for radio. You enjoy these, or enjoy, well, do you take these warning messages? Right now, we're behind in radio airtime. I need money for radio airtime. I don't have it. We are past due. It's the 6th. It was due on the 1st. You get the picture? I need $300 to pay radio today. I pray that fellow sent that equipment that he said he would send, because I need that new board. I need that new board and the laptop and the microphone that he said he would send. And we need a camera, because we're trying to go on video. It's hard to keep up with all these other guys that got tons of money, because they can spend their money on just on what they're doing, and they sell books and tapes. I don't have time to write a book. I don't have time to do tapes right now. I have no way to do it. I have no way to sell those things. I don't sell anything. We serve the Father. We don't sell anything. So we need your help. You know, I have one person keeps telling me, well, when I do this, I'm going to give you some money. Well, you don't realize that even $10 or $20 a week would be a huge help. It doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. If everybody would send $100 a month, it would change things. We need help to get food and clothing and over-the-counter medications, or if you like radio, we need money to pay radio airtime. And there's some ways that we can expand, but we can't do it without funding. We need your help. You heard my wife cry on radio over bills. A few people came forward and helped, but we need your help. We really do need your help, folks. You need to consider it. If you're being bussed by this program, help us, please. You know, any size of donation will help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Now, you know, there is another place that we set up, I tried it yesterday, that you can make pledges, and it's at patreon.com/Messiah's Branch. That's patreon.com/Messiah's Branch. That's a good way if you want to pledge some money every month. But if you're going to make a one-time donation or make it tonight, please do it with PayPal. We do really need your help. I need to get radio airtime paid tonight, today, yesterday. It needs to be paid. I need $300 for that. And, folks, there's a few other things that we need money for. We're faced with a lot of bills, but we keep on going. We keep on going. What are we doing? We're doing the gospel, just like Yeshua did among the poor people. We're helping the poor. We're in one of the worst parts of town, and we are helping the poor. We are ministering to them, and we need your help. We really do. We need King James large print Bibles, folks. We need those things. We need them. Pray about a sacrificial donation. You know, I know in my heart of hearts, there's some ministries that listen to this radio program that have thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, they can. There's lots of people that could make an offering that wouldn't hurt them one little bit, and they would hardly even notice it, but we would sure notice it. And it goes back to that. You know, even $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 or $100 monthly or weekly would help dramatically. Don't wait till you get rich. I've had so many people tell me, well, we're going to donate a lot of money to you when this settlement comes in, or I get this or I get that. And, you know, later on, usually they get the settlement, and you know what happens? We never get any money. But I have faith. I have strong faith, and faith is an action word. I get up and move. Even if I haven't got the money for gas to pay for my tank of gas to get back from Wichita, it's still I go, because I was appointed to go, and I was told to go, and I'm obedient to go. And so that's what it's all about, being obedient. And I do it because I serve Yeshua and his Father by serving the people. And that's the way that it should be. You serve others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love thy neighbor as thyself. These are the greatest commandments in the Torah. They're not the only commandments, but they're the greatest. Everything is really based on these two. If you love God, you're going to be obedient and obeying. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to help him. You're going to lift him up. So pray about a sacrificial donation today. And I know all you people, there are so many of you skeptical people out there that, oh, well, it's time to turn off the program. You know, pray about it. Do something about it. And in your own neighborhood, do something about it. And make sure that you get this warning message out to everybody, because it's a dire time, folks. It's a very dire time. I believe that Putin would hold off from a nuclear strike. I pray that he would, at least until the election happens. If Hillary gets elected, I'm with Putin. I believe that it's all over with. And if it is all over with, then your only thing that's going to save you people is like holy ground, and that's being on righteous ground and doing the right things, not the wrong things. And then where will all that money that you stored up save you? It won't. I love you, folks. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Get that, 3 days and three nights, not a day and a half and a little while. 3 days and three nights. That's what it is, in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, we're in the 10 awesome days, you know, countdown to the Day of Atonement. Are you right before your Father? Have you accepted the blood of Yeshua? Does he rule your life? Pray about it and get on your knees and on your face. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.